Topi's all right, and he shows up. Let's begin the meeting with a moment of silence, please. Thank you. Might help if I get myself organized. I have a motion, please, to accept the agenda.
So moved.
And seconded by?
Second.
Jane, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Announcements. Bill, do you have any?
No.
June?
Yes, Roger, I have two announcements.
Okay, feel free, please.
I know one of these is a little bit premature. It's about Christmas tree recycling, but before you know it, all this craziness is going to be over, and a lot of us have live trees that we'd like to dispose of properly. If you have a green waste container at home, all the garbage company would like you to do is cut it into 4-foot segments or less, and you may put it in your green waste container. Be sure you pull off all decorations and tinsel and that kind of thing. And then that tree will go to Cold Canyon Landfill and be ground up and turned into compost, and then will be used in other places. So, and if for some reason you can't use a green waste container at your residence or business, you may take your tree to the landfill, and they will compost it there for you, but there is a charge if you take it out yourself. The second thing I wanted to talk about was an event that happened on November 22nd at City Park here in Morro Bay. We had a revitalization of the Adopt a Tree program that was very active here in the 90s. And we would like to start getting more city trees replaced with community help. That's the purpose of the Adopt a Tree program. The city hasn't been able to replace all the street trees that have had to be cut down due to disease or damage or some type of problem. And so we're asking citizens to please help with that program. There's 3 levels of adoption, and we started out on the 22nd with a gathering of about 50 people. We had Cub Scouts, 4-H'ers, Girl Scouts, public officials, landscapers, and gardeners, and the public that was interested all gather at City Park, and we put in 2 trees, which are now there. And after the trees were put in, there was a discussion about the Adopt a Tree program and then a demonstration of the correct way to plant a street tree. And that was done by Gabriel of Gabriel Gardening. And we appreciate all the people that showed up. It was a great community outing and event. There was a lot of energy there. We took that energy from City Park over to Quintana Street. And on Quintana, we put in 14 trees in about an hour and a half. There were a lot of hands helping, and it did make for light work. It was a fun activity. Lots of people got involved, went by fast, and everybody had a good time. The weather was beautiful. And we hope that more community members will get involved and participate. That's the least amount of commitment we ask people. Or you can also donate money and take care of a tree, or you can also just donate money if you would like to help support the program. And we have a nice bronze plaque that is available that you can have put in the ground. It will be a permanent fixture with the tree. And so those are the 3 levels of sponsorship that are available to the public. So if you want to just help out with watering, that's great. Or if you have a little extra money and you'd like to put some money into the program, we would appreciate that as well. So thank you, everyone that was helped participate in that program. Rob Leivick was there from the city staff, as were other staff members as well. Without Rob's help, the whole thing wouldn't have happened because he coordinated city crews and just made the whole thing come together. So thanks, everybody that participated.
Is that it?
That's
Jane,
it.
Do you have anything? Okay, well, thank you, June, and I applaud you, Noah, Rob Leivick, all of you who participated. And I hope that citizens will take it upon themselves to give of their time in getting some trees planted. We need to refurbish our urban forest. We're losing it. And it's important that we continue its growth. So please, if you can, participate. Thank you. Next item, written communications. Do we have any, Rob?
We had a copy of the SLOCOG pavement management rehabilitation needs report for the city of Morro Bay dropped off at our office by a citizen. This is going to be submitted in the SLOCOG package, and basically the pavement condition in the city of Morro Bay is declining due to lack of comprehensive maintenance efforts. We estimate that it's about $1 million a year effort that's needed to maintain our and to improve our pavement condition. We fund that quite a bit less than that. Over the last 2 years, we spent approximately $400,000 on road maintenance, which was mainly pothole patching that we've done. With the increase in asphalt prices, can't get quite as much of that spread around as we used to. We'll be working towards a more comprehensive pavement management plan with a computer model to get us up to speed with some of the rest of the cities in the county so we can better address our pavement needs. And I'll be bringing items in the upcoming year addressing pavement management.
Excellent. Thank you, Rob. Also, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our city manager, Andrea Luker, to our meeting. We rarely get to see you here, and thank you for showing up. Look forward to hearing about what you wish to discuss. Next item, public comments and presentations. Anybody from the public wishing to make a comment or two, please feel free to come forward. Give us your name, and we usually allow 3 minutes, but if you wish to run over a little, that's all right. We're not
okay. I'll do my best.
My
name is Contamination out there, and nothing has been done by a lot of different agencies, and I happen to have dug all this up, and the more I've read and the more I've found and the more reports and the more state documents, the more frustrated I get, because there is a creek that leads to the bay, and also my water supply is damaged, and the city has a beautiful water supply that we can't use, and I really think we need to be more proactive and find out what exactly the source is. But I'm going to read you my frustrations now, and then you can ask me questions. When I was here last, I was checking on the status of the well testing. The Chorro Valley wells are a stone's throw away from my property, and they once supplied the entire city with its water supply. I was told by Cleath and Associates they were going to test the city's wells, my well, and our neighbor's well prior to the state water shutdown. I assumed that this was to ensure the safety of the water that was to be delivered to the residents. I am concerned about the documented contamination in the Chorro Valley. Cleath and Associates came and tested most of the Chorro Valley, yet they only tested for agriculture standards, which is nitrates. The agriculture standards, just nitrates. It's not the drinking water standards. Now, mind you, this water was going to be coming to residents. During the state water shutdown, the city of Morro Bay was getting the entire Morro Bay, not the Chorro Valley, was getting treated mixed water through the desalination plant. So the city of Morro Bay residents were pretty good. Treated, chlorinated, desal plant, they're good. 11 of us in the Chorro Valley water were getting direct contaminated well water. The study in the Chorro Valley is about nitrates, which can be from fertilizers or septic systems. On November 20th, we received a certified letter warning of the nitrate contamination to only 11 of us residents during the state water shutdown. It said the water was not safe. This worried me. Cleath and Associates, the city's hired geologists, had no idea when I called them that we were getting direct water from these wells. They were extremely concerned. I was told that the nitrates are too high and the source has yet to be determined. I'm not an expert, but my well is testing low, as well as some of the neighbors are that are testing low and high. And I would think that if it was fertilizers and all of us out there, it would blanket pretty much the whole area. It wouldn't jump from well to well, I would think. And This is why I'm upset. The testing prior to delivery was not done thoroughly. The last incomplete test was September. The shutdown was in November. And this was, again, not the drinking water standards. Cleethan Associates' report on the source of the nitrates is not available until the first of the year. So we don't know if my kids were showering in nitrates by fertilizer or septic. We have no idea. My kids were taking showers in this water. Was there asbestos, arsenic, cyanide, diseases? Those are all drinking water tests. Was there? We don't know because there was no test. I have found numerous documents on the wells. The State of California Health Department ordered them shut down until proper treatment and licensing in March 29th of 1994 and again after all this in 2008. This is the part that upsets me the most because I would hate to think that anybody would want to act unkind or unjust. But since my inquiry about the city and the wells and everything, I received another letter from the city basically saying that they might have to, quote, revisit my water supply individual agreement. I'm taking this as a threat, and I'm shocked that the city would even think of taking our water when there's been a clear failure to act, in my opinion, exposure to unknown contaminants, and damage to our private wells. Whatever the contamination is, it's right there, at a minimum, to the creek that leads right to the ocean in the bay, and it's an environmental hazard, and I really think that we need to get our priorities up there and protect our kids and protect our environment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a bit of a shock. What would you like the city to do? Come on back up here, please, because this is the first that we are hearing of the contamination of your wells and the lack of due diligence in correcting it.
Well, I just think that, I guess maybe where I'm in shock, maybe this is just, is that there nobody has been more proactive. The only thing that you hear is the nitrates and the nitrates and the nitrates. Well, unfortunately, I mean, these documents that I found that give the city's involvement, the County of San Luis Obispo's involvement, the State Water Resources Board, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, everybody has known. I mean, I have just boxes, and I stumbled on them accidentally, of the known possibility of contamination, and then, boom, all of a sudden they're shut down and we can't use them. I would think that we would be more proactive and get to the bottom of it. Get to the bottom of what is contaminating these wells. It could very well be my septic tank. We don't know. I'm willing to take that risk, but I'm upset that I feel like there's a few of us out there have been the sacrificial 11. You gave us water, and if my kid comes down with cancer next year, who knows? We have to be a little bit more proactive.
Have you had a chance to talk to anybody with the city staff in regards to this?
I have had a lot of communications, and part of it is my problem, and part of it is a communication thing.
Okay.
Because I know they're thinking in certain directions, and I'm there certain directions.
Okay.
But once we made it clear by talking to Cleethan Associates, who's doing the testing, and I realized, wait a second, we're not testing for everything. We're only testing for agriculture standards and nitrates. I know nitrates are dangerous, but there's also other things in these waters and in the ground basin that's dangerous, too, that needs to be tested for.
Okay, let me interrupt you for a moment and ask Andrea, if I may, Andrea, is there a suggestion you could recommend to her? Could she maybe talk to Bruce Ambo and maybe get some clarification?
I guess what I would suggest, and I don't want to horn in on Rob here, but I would suggest that perhaps this item be on the agenda and you can get all the information that's available.
Carrie, would you be willing to come back to a future meeting and discuss this publicly with the board and bring some of the documentation, some of the letters, some of the... You're very welcome. Yes, ma'am. You wanted to come forward and speak? Please do. And let us have your name, please.
Good evening. My name is Jenny Brantley. I'm a homeowner and resident here in Morro Bay.
Welcome.
Thank you. And I'm really enjoying the new rotary at the top of Morro Bay Boulevard. It's looking beautiful.
The roundabout.
The roundabout. I come from the East Coast. We call them rotaries there. The roundabout. The roundabout looks great. I think it's fantastic. And I love seeing pedestrians on the streets of Morro Bay, especially in downtown. And what I really enjoyed was traveling last year in Seattle and in Lake Tahoe, where at various points, like the roundabout, there were stations on posts in which they had orange flags larger than this, and the orange flags were there for pedestrian safety. Aww. And what this, it's a lovely idea, and it works very well to absolutely halt traffic. I, as a pedestrian, found that the minute I put my orange flag out and stepped, all cars stopped immediately and let me pass as long, it took as long as I wanted to spend in that crosswalk with my flag. They were patiently abiding my right to cross. It gave me a sense of security that they could see me, that I had this flag. Obviously, the flag won't prevent an accident from, you know, a car could still hit me, and this isn't a force field, but it does really create a lot of visibility for the pedestrian, and I felt very welcome in these other communities. Like, they cared about me, that they wanted me to be safe, they wanted me to be out walking, they wanted me to be enjoying the crosswalks that were being provided that I find sometimes in this town aren't always so safe. And this would just provide a very inexpensive, I did some research, $50 to $100 for two canisters, one on each side of the crosswalk, a little signage, 50 cents a flag. Local businesses could have a little name card to sponsor, and they could provide replacement flags. Turns out flags do not walk. They stay in the canisters, especially when they are stamped with some sort of logo or something like We Heart Tourists or something like that, or Morro Bay, property of Morro, city of Morro Bay, whatever. And this is my idea that I'd like to propose and have enacted at a very inexpensive cost and to great benefit at every crosswalk, but most notably at the roundabout.
Well, thank you very much. That's been my major concern, was pedestrian safety with that roundabout, and that's a wonderful idea. May I recommend that you also take the idea and your presentation to the City Council? Because
okay.
That's where the action
I see.
Starts.
I started at the Promotions Committee and then was encouraged by John, I believe, to
yes.
come here tonight.
Uh-huh.
And I guess at the council. And the Seattle people say, just go out there and do it. Don't even go to the... You didn't hear me say that.
Oh, no, no. We're pretty lax here.
Okay.
But it would be a good idea to go to the council.
Great.
Because I think, as I said, it's a great idea, and it sounds like it's fairly easy to set up.
Yeah, they provide instructions on the
yeah.
website. And it's been very high publicity, too. It's caused a lot of good articles in the local newspapers in Salt Lake City and Seattle about these. Salt Lake City, they estimate their cost to be about $100 per crosswalk using city employees to install them. Mm-hmm. In Seattle, it's volunteers, like people like me, just going out and doing it.
Probably not too complicated.
Very simple, and I'm sorry I don't have more than this one handout, but I'll pass this around.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else that wishes to comment at this time? Richard? Oh, I'm sorry. Were you done?
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant comment on me.
Oh, no. You dropped something. And again, thank you very much for coming tonight.
Good evening.
Hi, Richard. Welcome.
Merry Christmas to all of you.
Thank you.
And happy holidays.
Thank you.
And I would like to just thank the board, the volunteers that are on the board for all their services, and especially you, Roger, your patience and wisdom. I look at you as a true American gentleman. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is accountability. Accountability for when we work as public servants, those who are employed in staff and other areas in the county. And because a lot of the public services have to do with our public health and safety as a whole. And back in the early 80s I graduated from college in a degree in mechanical engineering, and I got a job working for the Department of Defense in building launch pads for the National Security Council. And one of the things that what we had to do, I was a field engineer out there, and the designs would come in, and the thing about accountability and when you work in that kind of environment, and the way I see the Department of Defense, National Security, or Public Health and Safety, I don't really designate the two. Those are cousins. When I put my signature on something that I said in the field was the way it was, it better have been that way or it was 5 years in prison. They didn't mess around. It was dealing with national security. And I think that that kind of same philosophy, I'm not saying throwing people in prison, but that same kind of philosophy that you are accountable when you work for staff, that you are accountable for your reports, other people's reports that come in, looking at that, and protecting the public health and safety as a whole. And I think that if we look at that closely, I think that we can make some really good inroads and to solving our basic global problems that we have as a human species with climate change, water drought, water pollution, as you heard Ms. Burton. We have an opportunity here that's fantastic. And if you have a chance, maybe get a public request for one of the reports that me and Marta Jo did. It was our third report. And in the recommendation section, I talk about the Blue Carpet Water Treatment Facility Plan for Estero Bay. And what it does is it uses an internationally known BAP program, which is a biodiversity action plan, and it's globally known. And we have all the ingredients right here. We have a bird sanctuary. We have one of the most diverse estuaries. We have all the big players that need carbon sequestering credits, Chevron, PG&E. And if we integrate and collaborate with all these agencies, we could make this the point for not only California but for the world of how to do things right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else that wishes? Marla, welcome.
Good evening. First of all, I want to start out with saying how happy I am with the Adopt a Tree program and everybody that's helped with that. And there's a tree, one of our red eucalyptus trees there, and it was covered with ivy, years of ivy, you know, around the trunk and then up into the branches. And I sat there as a licensed tree company came, and they very efficiently and neatly took off the mass down here, you know, the mass of the ivy. And then they went up to each tree where the branches where the ivy has come up here, and they removed that. And I was just so pleased because some of the tree trimming that I've seen around here, I think they probably just would have whacked off the limbs, you know. But coastal tree experts did a wonderful job, and I am thankful to the city staff that you're hiring licensed experts to take care of our trees. And then following up on Ms. Burton's severe situation in at her home, that is the Chorro Basin. And as you know, Richard and I made a presentation to you about the Morro Basin and our concerns with the nitrate and what that nitrate is coming from and our concerns that it's coming from sewage. We have not been able to have any independent tests performed on that. The Chorro Valley, Carrie's done a wonderful job. Just a mom out there plugging away, and you know, it's taken over a year and a half or something to get the State Department, Health Department out there and to issue the notice to the city to stop using those wells and to not provide that well water that's unfiltered directly into her home. So the people in Morro Bay, please, if you're concerned about water, keep your eyes out, keep your ears open, and demand accountability from the city. Our consumer confidence reports that we had from 2002 through 2005, there were known problems in the Moro Basin with nitrate levels that were not reported to the citizens. And the first time we became aware that we had a problem with the Moro Basin wells was when we had an emergency quarantine on the water during a shutdown. And so, anyway, but thank you for the progress you've all helped a lot. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Marla. Thank you. And thank you for your kind words. Anyone else? Bob, you know, I've been watching you patiently sit there, and your item is a discussion item. Would you rather wait until we get into that, or would you rather make your...
I have another item, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please continue, and feel free to speak on whatever you wish.
In the interests of accountability during the past 2 years, from good or fair to poor or bad. So our streets are getting worse. We've spent about $200,000 a year during the past 2 years to maintain the streets. Even so, we've lost 20 miles to deteriorating conditions. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention. I think that the only cure is more money, which is in very short supply. So, thanks.
Thank you very much, Bob. I don't know what we can do, but I see the streets deteriorating. Next item. I'm sorry, is there anybody else? Okay. We'll close the public comment period and go into the consent calendar, which is the approval of the minutes of October 15th. If there are no corrections or changes, I would accept the motion.
I had one small correction, and I don't even know if it's that big a deal, but I thought I'd bring it up.
Please.
Anyway, under announcements, it said Christoph Jones talked about a new program sponsored by the IWMA to dispose of sharps containers, and actually that's generally right, but it was really to provide containers to be used by the public to dispose of sharps, and then they're disposed of by the pharmacy.
Whereabouts, so, excuse me, Jim.
Under announcements.
Okay.
The very first sentence. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure that it's clear that I was talking about the fact that there's disposable containers that can be picked up free at pharmacies, brought home, filled, and then returned to the pharmacies. And the pharmacy disposes of the sharps. And when I read that sentence, it just didn't come across that way.
How would you like it to read?
Christoph Jones talked about containers to be used to dispose of sharps. I wrote that. Okay, it was the first part of it's fine, up to IWMA board to... provide containers to be used by the public to dispose of their sharps, which are then returned to the pharmacy, who then properly disposes of them.
Do they dispose of the containers or just the sharps? Do they dump the sharps out and then give you back the container?
They give you a brand new container that you then take home, and it's all cost-free. Because...
I understand what you're saying. Right?
When I read this, it says dispose of sharps containers.
Well, if you read the second sentence, I think it further explains the first. And it says there is no charge for the service.
That's true.
Also new phone books. Yes, okay. So I, at the moment, don't see a need for a change when you include all three sentences.
Okay. Well, if it's clear to you, then that's fine.
It was clear to me. How about Bill or Jane or staff?
How about if we just remove the word containers after sharps, and then it goes on to talk about the containers?
Okay.
Light the roundabout project. Unfortunately, we're a week behind the rain with the paving of the roundabout project. Just speaking with the paving contractor today, he needs, you know, at least 3 dry days to get the paving done. And that doesn't look like, with the periodic showers that we're going to be getting till after the first of the year, they're going to do some more patchwork out there to get the little lake that develops to drain a little bit better. The grinding and paving will occur after the first of the year, followed by restriping the intersection and then a grand ribbon cutting and grand opening sometime to follow after that.
Great. Can I ask you a question
Sure.
on that subject, please? Waiting for a price from the current roundabout contractor to perform the overlay as a change order. Could you explain that, please?
We have a project to overlay Main Street. One of the ideas from staff was to talk to our current contractor, and since he's already mobilized out there, to get a price for him to continue down Main Street if it's within the engineer's estimate. He has not provided that cost estimate to us as of yet, but he is working on it. So
I thought, wasn't the paving included in the price initially?
The paving for the roundabout is included from about the bridge.
You're talking about Main Street.
This is talking about, Morro Bay Boulevard from where the roundabout project ends at approximately Kern, continuing that overlay through the downtown to Main Street and then picking up at the slurry seal for the final segment.
Oh,
so
okay.
It'd be our overlay project getting a price from them to add that as a change order.
Okay, I understand that. Thank you. It makes sense. Please continue.
That was really the only project that I have to highlight. Ms. Burlingame added a couple of items to the director's report correspondence with SLOCOG regarding transit operations and the funding of Dial-A-Ride to amend our requests to add operating assistance that we were normally going to use for capital improvements, since that was a project that was approved for the Regional Transportation Authority. We thought if it was fair for RTA, it was also fair for Morro Bay to have the TDA funds to be incorporated into operations.
Okay.
I have a question about that.
Please go ahead.
I'll try to answer that.
Okay. I was just curious. There was a $60,000 grant awarded for a new vehicle.
Yes.
And we were losing approximately $37,000 in LTF money.
Operations, yes. TDA, Transportation Development Act, LTF, Local Transportation Fund.
I was just thinking that if that money is still available from the grant, if it isn't used in this fiscal year,
it can be carried over.
And then maybe it could be set aside for a vehicle, the start of a vehicle replacement fund
that
for next
correct.
Year or operations. I just didn't know how that worked. But it will be held for that purpose.
It'll be carried over for the next fiscal year for either capital or operations.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Bill, did you have anything you wanted to ask about?
Well, I noticed there's, as far as television and telecommunications, no reportable action. But in regarding Charter, I believe it was Monday, there was an article in Wall Street Journal about Charter, and they're in pretty desperate condition. So I would suggest we have some provisions in mind in case they do take bankruptcy, because that would affect our Channel 20 here, too. You know, it's the only way it goes out.
Did you get the impression they were about to go belly up?
They can't make bond payments that are coming due without finding some more money. So
do we have any protection, Andrea? I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I hope I'm not.
That's okay. I'm happy to be on the spot.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm on the spot a lot, and I can't answer your question, but we're happy to come back with an answer
okay.
for you.
All right. Thank you. Just as long as you're alerted, maybe that might be all
Absolutely.
That's necessary.
Thank you,
Andrea. Does anybody else have a question on the director's report? Then I have just one, and I noted it prior to the public comment, and it's on the nitrate analysis of the Chorro Valley. I was going to ask if we have a status of those wells yet, but apparently we don't.
Not as of yet. We haven't received that report from Cleith & Associates.
Are they taking an analysis just on the nitrates? They're not doing what Ms. Carrie Burton was discussing?
I'm not sure what the scope of work is for the Cleith & Associates as far as testing goes. Their main focus is on nitrates, but the city actually tests for other constituents on any of the drinking water that we deliver. So I will relay that information to Mr. Wade, and perhaps he can get a hold of Carrie and let her know what testing has been performed and what has not.
Carrie, you may want to follow up.
I've already missed.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. So ends the director's report. All right. Now we're into new business. Item A, consideration of amending the representation of the Utilities Billing Review Committee. Andrea, I believe this is your item. Please feel free to begin.
You are correct, and good evening. I'm happy to be with you this evening. Just a little bit of background. In January of 1996, the Utility Billing Committee, wow, you started that way, and here I am. Let's start over. In January of 96, the Utility Billing Committee was created, and the purpose of the finance director or designee and a citizen member of the Public Works Advisory Board. While the city manager, while I have authority to change the makeup of that board pursuant to the Muni Code, I felt it was very important, as did Rob do, as Rob Leivick did, to come before you because you were instrumental in looking at prior to creation of that board, looking at how it was made up. And we're coming before you tonight for a recommendation on a slight change on the makeup of that board. As you may know, currently Bill Olson, a member of the PWAB, sits on that board and has served for a number of years. It's come to our attention that Mr. Olson may not be reapplying for the Public Works Advisory Board, but he still has expressed an interest in staying on the Utility Billing Committee to hear disputes, and he's more than willing to do that. Tonight's request is to change the wording on the makeup of the board, and to add, as the staff report says, a citizen member of the Public Works Advisory Board or designee. So if there's not a member of the PWAB board that would like to be on that committee, you could certainly recommend that Mr. Olson stay on the committee. He has years of history. He does a great job, and the staff supports it as well. I did want to offer you an alternative. If there was somebody on PWAB that would like to stay on the board, then I would suggest that we could add just an additional member. We could call it a historian, and Mr. Olson could continue to serve on that board. But we would highly recommend that a recommendation come from you to either change the wording, just add or designee after that, or add another position. I'm not sure, but Mr. Olson might want to talk a little bit about it. I know he's had a great time on that committee, and hopefully he can stay on. And that's why I'm here tonight.
That's the only action you wish this board to take?
Just a recommendation, you're correct.
Well, that's an easy one. How do you feel about staying on, Bill?
Well, yeah, I would like to stay on the board.
Good.
Because it works, everything works. But I'd like to give you a little background on it because
Please
you
do.
Don't know anything about it. When that board started, we our first position was we rotated membership here. Every month, it was a different person from PWAB. And, of course, pretty soon everybody was saying, I don't know what goes on, you know, because it was nobody was had the experience on there to get to the point to know what was going on. So, and as people couldn't do it at times, I would fill in. Well, pretty soon I was filling in more often and more often, you know, so eventually it got to the point where I was doing it every time. And then it came the next year, and I said, okay, I'll do it. So that was it, and I've been doing it ever since. And but we had a, at the beginning, we didn't really know, nobody knew what they were doing because we didn't really have any system. And we didn't know what the costs were. And, you know, we back in 1995, the water billing system was set up, which is the one we're still using today, which as increased water use, the cost per unit goes up. Therefore, when someone has a leak and they're running 100, I thought about it. And so I came up with the idea, the same, and I applied a system that I used in my own business for figuring out whether I was making any money or not, which actually came from a small business program at UCLA Business School that I attended back in the 50s, and which consisted of roughly, first you have your fixed costs, and then you, which are in place whether you do any business or not. If we don't deliver a drop of water, we still have a fixed cost. And then there is the direct cost of how much, you know, when you have a job, how much does that job cost? You know, that's the direct cost. But if you don't have a job, you don't have that cost. Well, by taking all of the cost of the system, which includes the bonds on the state water pipe, the piping system to put 1,000 gallons a minute on every fire hydrant, which keeps people's insurance down, the entire system, when the cost of that system adds up, the amortization divided by the number of meters, it's about $38.50 a month. So that's your basic cost. And above that, you've got the actual cost of the water that's used, which can vary depending on where it comes from. You know, if state water is one price and the water we pump in the Charles and Morro Creek costs about twice as much as that, and, of course, from the desal plant, it costs more than that. Mm-hmm. So these things all have to be factored in when we consider what we do.
So I get the understanding you would still like to be
so
on.
So this way we do have an easy way, and they adopted my system, and that's what we've been using ever since, and it works. And also, to save staff time or when we need more questions, when we need questions on something, like we had our meeting today, and there was one case in which I called the woman. She was using a lot of water, you know, too much. And I talked to her about an hour on the phone. She has a half-acre lot. There aren't many of those in town, are there? I was surprised the lot was that big. And she has a lot of planning, and she'd been trying to do some planning to cut that down, but but she had breaks in the line, and they were leaking, you know, and all that. But anyway, I suggested that she get a hold of Wally McCray, who could give her the ideas on new planting to reduce the water consumption. So we take it from there. But anyway, that's what we do. And by my making these phone calls, it saves staff time. The staff isn't doing it, you know. So anyway, that's what. So I just soon continue on it, and I may apply. I may reapply. I'll just see who.
I hope you do reapply, Bill. And let me ask Jane and June if you're comfortable allowing Bill to remain as the PWEB designee.
Absolutely. I think he's done a great job, and if he wants to continue to do it, we should support that.
There you Definitely. Are, Andrea.
We are asking, though, that you recommend the wording change or designee mm-hmm. added, so just so that's mm-hmm. clear. So you're mm-hmm. going with the stack.
We need a motion.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. We
All
like
right.
motions.
I'll make a motion that Public Works Advisory Board accept case. Yes.
I was wondering how it works when the billing department, well, my question is, if someone has a leak in their yard or in their house that they're not aware of and their rate skyrockets because of that, when does it get caught within the city structure so that they can be notified? Or is it up to the citizen when they start getting these horrific bills then they come to the city. I know in San Luis Obispo, they have a program where they somehow, with a computer, monitor the water usages, and so something's flagged when it goes extremely beyond what its normal is. And so then they can get back to the citizen even. I know we have a lot of vacation homes in Morro Bay, and there could be irrigation that lines that get broken and it runs into the street, could go on for weeks, and they might not notice until they get a second bill or something like that. So I was just curious how the city keeps an eye on that kind of extreme water usage that might creep up.
I believe it's through the meter reading, so on a monthly basis.
So the city doesn't really track it. It's just if the bill gets to the citizen, then they contact the city.
That's my understanding.
No, I think it's a little more proactive, because we were actually on vacation in Boston one time, and they called us from the city. They called our house sitter and then called us and told us that our, because we weren't aware of our, we hadn't received our bill because we were on vacation, and they told us that our water usage had gone up. Oh. So I don't know if it was from the monthly reading. I think it was prior to sending out a bill or anything.
I don't think they look at it between monthly readings. Mm-hmm. It might have been right at that point, and if they knew you were on vacation home, they may have called.
Mm-hmm. Does your committee do that, handle that kind of thing, Bill?
Pardon?
It sounded like you've been involved in notification of someone.
Well, see, when the meter reader reads the meter, he can tell right away that there's excessive use.
Oh.
Because he also sees how much was used the month before, because he's got the readings, you know.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So he usually he'll note that, and they will contact the people.
Oh, that's great.
And sometimes they shut off the meter, you know, they'll do that, or they check the. But anyway, the meter reader is really the initial. Initiates the thing.
Oh.
I remember one of my first times I was on the board, we had a $2,800 bill, and it was someone who had one of the vacation homes here. She flushed the toilet, goes out, closed the door, get in the car, and left. See, and the water was, and the toilet was running.
Mm-hmm.
And the meter reader picked that up. Oh. And of course, they can't break in the house, so they called them. And she came from wherever it was, and they went in there and found that. But in these cases, when I talk to them on the phone, I've been recommending that when they leave, they always turn off, if they don't turn off the water on the house, because they don't want to do that because they have somebody watering landscaping, you know, but turn off the water on the toilet, because mm-hmm. it can start leaking anytime. You know, it gets some dirt in there and it leaks.
I think that's great that the water meter takes that extra step to, have the awareness of what happens, right. And then to pass it on, to not just allow it to continue on.
Right.
So
no, they.
That's great. That's great.
Is there a possibility of the city sending out in the water bill a little notification, just or a paragraph that might just?
Because if it hasn't happened, oftentimes people don't think about it until it happens, and then it's too late.
And the last thing we want to do is waste water, because water is finite. Okay, thank you. Congratulations, Bill. Thank you very much. Going into the main item for today, for tonight's meeting, the North Main Street Class 2 bike lanes. Rob, this is yours. And Mr. Davis is here, and I've invited him to also participate. So whenever you're free, we'll get Bob up here. Andrea, thank you again. Good night. Merry Christmas to you. Go ahead, Rob. It's all yours.
Good evening. Rob Livick, city engineer. Last spring, the city council asked staff to prepare an item on bringing the idea of the North Main Class 2 bike lanes back to them. And as a intermediary step, we're bringing this item to PWEB. Over the last few months, we prepared a preliminary design for striping and looking at where we need potential widenings on North Main Street. Prepared a preliminary plan, which is attached to your package, and a preliminary opinion of probable cost. The project could range anywhere from about 282,000 striping and some repaving to about 1 million if we were to widen the entire North Main from Highway 41 to Yerba Buena. The most likely cost is about $305,000, which includes some widening near Lolo's and one of the other businesses along Main where parking is very tight. I've also included in the packet some previous staff reports that went to council regarding this item. Like I said, the project most likely will cost about $305,000 for the scope that we're looking at. We have about $60,000 in funds available for this project, $30,000 in TDA, Transportation Development Act money, and $30,000 from SLOCOG for funding the design of this project. The remaining would need to be made up from grants, City General Fund, perhaps Measure Q funding, or the latest idea is our regional funding partner has been soliciting projects for the economic stimulus package. The state is perhaps looking to spread some of the federal money to the local agencies where projects are close to ready to go to get contractors working immediately. So that's one of the candidate projects that we submitted to SLOCOG, our regional funding agency, for consideration in each direction, north and south. Two 13-foot travel lanes and an 8-foot parking lane where that width is available. One side, yes, on the east side of the street. No parking on the west side.
Is there room width-wise for a bike lane on the west side of Main?
There is sufficient right-of-way for this complete section. It's just there's some existing improvements that would have to be there's some existing curb, gutter, and sidewalk that would need to be relocated to make way for that width. There's also an asphalt dike along the west side of Main and some drainage structures that might have to be modified to get the complete width. But there is existing right-of-way to accommodate this entire cross-section there. There needs to be things moved around. And one of the reasons the cost is as high as it is it requires a lot of grinding of the stripe. It almost requires removal of all the existing striping that's out there and restriping the entire road, because you can't just, the way it was striped originally doesn't accommodate the idea for bike lanes. It's not striped in the right location.
Okay.
When you say, when you say you have to grind it and remove it, are you talking about the painted stripes on the street?
The painted stripe on the
street. They have to be physically lifted up?
If you paint black over them,
yeah.
When it rains, they shine through, and it causes confusion. You can probably see that a little bit at the roundabout where most of the striping they ground off. There was a couple spots where they couldn't get it ground off in time to get the roadway open, so they blacked it out. When that gets wet, it shines through, and it adds to confusion. So you physically need to grind that off and then asphalt slurry over the top of it to obliterate that striping. We would go back in with a more permanent striping. It wouldn't be paint. It would be a thermoplastic product. And then the new Caltrans specs for thermoplastic, my understanding that it is also acceptable for the bike lane stripe if we include the glass beads in it, like San Luis did in conformance with the new Caltrans spec. Otherwise, typically bike lane striping is in paint instead of thermoplastic, but it requires replacement more often. As this project progresses to a real design and perhaps a contract, if we have the funding, we'll be bringing the detailed project back to this board and then to City Council. and I'd be happy to answer any questions that this board may have or from the public.
Bill, do you have any questions?
No.
Jane?
I just have a couple. I noticed that this was brought up in 2003 and turned down, the idea of doing the bike lane. Is that correct?
Yes.
At least that's the way I read it.
That is correct.
What was the rationale behind turning it down at that time?
It required removal of parking, and I think at least...
was not a bicyclist. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's political history. We don't need to go backwards. I have a question also. First of all, let me invite Bob Davis up.
Roger. Oh. I had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you asked yours. Forgive me.
When I was looking over the minutes from the 2003 vote, it said here that it was $13,000 was the projected expense. That's how I read it, and I was kind of curious how it went from 13 to 300,000.
I would like to know how they proposed to construct it for $13,000 in 2003. Also, maybe the only thing I can figure out is they didn't include the 60,000 that we had in funding. Even to just do striping and paint at that time, it would have been more than that amount. I don't know if they weren't going to stripe the entire, you know, remove all the striping and configure it as we're currently proposing to get the 2 5-foot bike lanes and the travel lanes and the parking lane as currently configured.
The other thing I noticed was that they proposed 11-foot wide traffic lanes, and your model shows 13-foot wide traffic lanes?
That's correct. North Main Street isn't classified as an arterial street in our circulation element, and 13-foot lanes would be the correct lane width for that arterial street cross-section.
Have the streets been reclassified, or they just didn't have it right then?
I'm not sure what led to different interpretation, or I'm not sure what the thoughts were when that staff report was prepared.
You can't read their minds?
No.
The other question is this, trying to figure out why the cost difference. This goes from Highway 41. Does it go to Yerba Buena? And I believe the old one just went to San Jacinto.
Yes.
So this is
the entire length of North Main.
Right. Right. Okay. And then also, you alluded to it, but it seems like it's a lot of expense to accommodate individual business owners with these bull bins. And do we know that those? I noticed, too, that some of the comments in there were some business owners preferred there be no parking available. They thought that was a benefit to their business to not have the parking on the street. So has there been a survey of the current business owners along that route to see which ones actually desire the bull bend? And then how do we determine whether the expense that would be generated by creating a bull bend versus no parking? How do we determine that one business owner can say that the whole city has to pay that additional cost for their business preference as far as parking goes?
The $305,000 includes the two ball bins for the locations that were problematic back in 2003. No, we haven't done. The price for the two locations, which is near Lolo's and the cabinet shop towards 41, would be about $22,000. So for those two locations.
22 for both?
For both, uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh. And in addition to what just the standard curb and gutter would be?
Exactly.
And how does that work as far as accommodating a business to that expense? Is that just the city council decision?
That would be a city council decision to make. And we use the same assumption that that the project was denied in 2003 for two specific locations. We use that assumption in the current preliminary design, although we did a full cost estimate on to bracket that on either end. If we did strip the parking and did no widening to accommodate businesses, it'd be about $282,000. If we widened the entire street to have parking along the entire length, mm-hmm. it'd be over $1 million project.
But it would be $22,000 less if we didn't have the bulb end.
Correct.
Included in there.
That is
and
correct.
I'm assuming that the cabinet shop would be contacted since before construction would begin.
Definitely.
We'd definitely make sure.
Definitely. That it would also make sense to resurvey the entire reach and have an outreach program with all those businesses that are along there. We didn't want to know where we were starting at and then move this along towards the next phases.
That's why you call this an estimate, right?
Yes. Okay. Opinion of probable cost.
Okay.
So, Rob, in certain areas, there'll be plenty of room for parking on the other side of the bike lane, and then in other areas, there won't be any room for parking, but you'll bulb in where people have requested it or where there's a strong demand for it?
Yes. There will be some areas along there that parking will have to be removed because the way the current curb and gutter is configured, there is not enough pavement width to accommodate the travel lanes and the bike lanes.
You say here that the most likely cost is about $305,000. And you've got $60,000. Well, I don't think there's much chance at the present time of getting any additional money from the general funds or Measure Q money, really. But would it be practical to do what you could do for $60,000 and leave the rest go to later? Or do they get some more money or what? Or do you have to do all at once?
Well, we wouldn't have to do the entire reach, the length at once. We would need to pick a logical starting point and ending point so we could do perhaps a quarter of the length of the project. But there are additional source of fundings that are possibly available. There are grants to the state for bike and pedestrian projects. There's this rumored influx.
For $5 million and get $250,000, that'd be fine.
Oh, what happens from here with this project? I'm sorry. Okay.
You want to chair? I have a question, not necessarily about the North Main Street bike, but bike lanes in particular, and that is the striping along South Bay Boulevard and along the Embarcadero is fading dangerously, I think.
Mike.
Sorry, apologize for that. Let me reiterate. Striping for bike lanes along South Bay Boulevard and the Embarcadero is fading dangerously, I believe. And it has been brought to my attention by two people, and I'm wondering where the striping on those two locations stand.
Well, that would come from the same pot of money as this would come from. So we would have to use that $60,000 that we, or actually only $30,000 of it, because $30,000 is dedicated to North Main from Slocog. The $30,000 is TDA monies we can use anywhere in the city for bike and pedestrian related projects. So we'll be evaluating striping all over town.
Could you add those two locations to your list specifically, please?
Yes.
I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Rob. Now, before we determine an action to take, I'd like to invite Mr. Davis up because he has some information that might be pertinent, and I think we need to hear it. Welcome back again, Mr. Davis.
Thank you. I'm Robert Davis. Rob, do you attend the TTAC meetings?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that was one of the things I wanted to bring tonight was SLOCOG staff identified some T21 unexpended funds in the amount of $30,000 for North Main Street, and that's what you were referring to earlier? Okay, so I don't have any sorts of new funds after all, Roger.
Okay.
Rob already had it. But I do want to say that both the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee and the County Bike Coalition strongly support this project. North Main Street bike lanes are an item of region-wide importance. At the time of the 2003 project, the striping of the bike lanes was part of a resurfacing of North Main. So that may be why the striping portion of that was such a low cost. There was no removal of existing striping required to do that project.
So. Okay, thank you, Bob. Sorry you don't have extra funding for us. Okay, June, you wanted to recommend an action, or?
No, I was just going to ask Rob where the project goes from here.
The project would continue through the development potential source of funds that came to us from a SLOCOG staffer today was Safe Routes to School funds may be applicable for this project also.
Okay. I would like this board to make a motion and recommendation to City Council that we, one, along with the bike committee that Mr. Davis represents and the SLOCOG, recommend support for a continuation of the North Main Street bike lane as a component to the regional countywide bike lane, which we at one point discussed a little over a year ago, I believe. So how does this board feel?
I feel we should add as money, any recommendation should have an as money as available attached to it.
Okay, that's good.
And along those same lines, I think it'd be nice if it could be broken into step-by-step projects. If the total amount is not available, that at least we could make some progress on some part of this.
It's feasible, yeah.
Right. So I know that's more work to break it down into segments, but that would be ideal if we could do it that way as well.
Jane, do you have any addition?
Please? No, I strongly support the bike lanes, so okay. I really definitely would like to see the item move forward, and I do think it's a good idea if there isn't enough money to go ahead and get it started.
Mm-hmm.
Do it right part of the way and go from there.
Okay. June?
I just have one other general comment. I don't know if it's a very dangerous situation to be riding southbound on Main in this area that we're talking about, because there is just no room over there. There's the fence, and then there's the cars. I don't know.
Coming through the fence once in a while.
That would be bad timing if that's when you were there. But I don't know how many people are aware of the bike trail that goes through the cloisters and through the high school on the other side of the highway, because that really is an alternative route, at least from San Jacinto to Highway 41. It's a very nice bike lane. Yeah. And you would have to go down San Jacinto or 41 to get on the other side of the highway. But I was wondering if there could be some kind of signage or awareness heightened by bike riders that route is there. I ride it often, and it's not very well trafficked. And so there is an option for people even now that, at least on that part of Main Street, they don't have to be on Main Street. They could take auxiliary streets down to where they could cross the highway and then get on that bike path over there. Mm-hmm. And, it's a little bit more riding, but it's safer.
And well, it's also prettier.
Yes, it's very nice.
Yeah. Well, do you need a motion on this, Rob, or do you think you have enough to go to council with from this board?
We have enough to go to council from this board, and we'll be bringing the item back to you also as this item progresses.
Okay. So
along with hopefully other bike striping projects.
Okay. So
yes.
So you are going to recommend that we strongly support it, and meeting cancellation policy should be brief.
Yes, this item was referred down from City Council for the various boards and commissions to discuss their policies on board makeup or commission makeup, their policy for canceling meetings, number of board members, and scope of responsibility. We've attached a copy of the Public Works Advisory Board bylaws to this staff report. And the council is looking for directions from the various boards and commissions on a way to proceed, whether to continue with the same or to make any modifications to the makeup, number of board members, or the their scope of work. Also, they're specifically looking for refinement of the cancellation policy. For example, we canceled November's meeting. There was not agenda items. That was actually contrary to the bylaws. It needs to be canceled at the meeting prior to that meeting. Unfortunately, a lot of times we don't know that we're not going to have any discussion items at that time. So I will leave it to your board to discuss this item and see how you feel about the various topics that council is looking for direction on.
Okay, thank you, Rob. Jane, would you like to begin if you have any comments you wish to make?
Well, I guess we should vocalize for the public because they're not seeing what we're seeing in front of us, what the bylaws say. I.e. that the bylaws say that there'll be 7 voting members on the board. The members will serve for 4 years. We might just reiterate a few things about the board. I'm just running through them here, if it's okay. That you can't be on more than one board. In other words, Noah couldn't be on this board because he's on the city council. And this is a board that gives advice to the city council. The absence policy, that if a board member is absent from 3 consecutive meetings without formal consent, he'll be considered to be resigned. If he's absent for 4 or more meetings in 1 calendar year, excused or unexcused, you can consider appointing a replacement for him. And then they talk about the chairperson for the board and the vice chairperson for the board, that they will hold office for a period of 1 year and what their duties will be. And that's basically, as I understand it, what we're looking at. Are you looking to us to see if any of those require change or just the cancellation of the meetings?
Council direction was basically the entire scope of the bylaws to look at that and see if there's any suggestions to it as far as
a lot to learn after a year. So that's one reason why I can see why 4 years is appropriate. One thing I thought about, though, is maybe sometimes our agendas are pretty thin, like last month was thin. Maybe one way it would be more appealing to people to make the commitment, and we are going to have several openings coming up in January. And I know we don't always have an overabundance of applicants, and I would encourage people to apply because it's an interesting job and it's worthwhile. But maybe one solution to the commitment to 4 years would to have meetings every other month instead of monthly. And I would suggest December be a month where we don't meet. And a lot of people have a lot of extra responsibilities and pressures during December. But I know that some boards do meet every 2 months. And well, I'm thinking of the Integrated Waste Management Board.
That's
there.
County.
Right, but I know that it can be structured possibly in different ways. So that came to mind for me that every other month for 4 years would be a much more appealing schedule for myself and maybe for other people. So I think that was about it that I noticed on there that I thought maybe could use some modification.
Well, as far as frequency of meetings go, and I think sometimes it's probably a waste of staff time because we don't have enough to discuss. So I think it should be flexible. We would have a meeting every month, but only as necessary. If there's nothing to discuss that's worthwhile or that easy to hold over, just hold it over. Just the staff can, you know, they can inform us. So I think there should be maybe have a flexible policy on whether it's once a month or not. And as far as length of time, 4 years, I think that's a good appointment. If somebody, because of what you have to learn and all that, but if somebody feels it's getting too long, they can resign. You know, that's no problem there. And I would just as soon see it stay seven members as long as we're going to need four people this time. I don't know if Jane is going to reapply or not, but so we'd have to have four new people. But anyway, as long as we can get good candidates, if we can't get enough good candidates, then we'd have to cut it down to five. But going back from the beginning when this board started, it was seven people. You know, it's always been. So I think that's a good number. And responsibility, of course. This is, you know, I was told one time that we do what the city council wants us to do. And I think that really sums it up. I don't object to that. Okay. But I do think that the board could be utilized to save staff time in some cases. And like one time, some people appeared here that were complaining. We can do things like that.
I agree that we could, sometimes I think we could be better utilized by doing specific tasks that maybe staff doesn't have time for. Yeah, at least we could be asked. Things like grant writing and that kind of thing. I would be interested in helping if there was a possibility of money for bike lanes and improvements to help with grant writing. That's an example of how I could be willing to help staff. So anyway, that's my comment.
Okay. I, too, feel the need for seven members. I think it's important that we have seven because there are times when not everybody is present and a quorum has a better chance of being fulfilled if we have seven rather than five. As for every other month, I can be flexible to it. My only concern is that by doing so, the meeting, when it is held, may be rather lengthy. I would rather than permanently set a policy at every other month, I would rather have the flexibility of canceling a meeting ahead of time if we know that there's not going to be. And that way, the following meeting won't necessarily be heavy. And there was something else. I completely slipped my mind. Rob.
Frequency meetings, you've already touched. Cancellation policy, number of board meetings, and the final one was scope of this board's responsibility, whether you feel the scope is adequately addressed in the bylaws or needs any revision.
So we need a motion. We haven't quite discussed the cancellation policy, have we?
Not at all. Not yet.
No.
It's not in here, and yeah. I didn't see it when
well,
I.
Well, that's the main reason this is before us is the cancellation
policy.
It says the bylaws say it needs to be canceled the meeting prior to.
But where is that?
It may be in the city council procedures and policies manual that this bylaws refer to. That was, you probably don't have a current copy. The clerk is getting, it was just recently revised. Mm-hmm. And the clerk is getting that out to all the boards, commission, and city council. I believe it may be addressed in that document, the cancellation policy. But I know that per the requirements that it does, current policy dictates that it's canceled at the meeting prior to the current meeting. One of the boards that I sit on is the SLOCOG TTAC, the Technical Advisor Committee. They set up board meetings for the year on their calendar. Every other month, they have those board meetings, the date reserved, but they only hold them if there's items on that agenda, and then send out an agenda package for that item.
Issues were not what we thought they were.
Well, the roundabout wasn't completed.
I think we need that flexibility. We're not always going to know at the end of a meeting that staff won't be ready with an issue or the roundabout is going to be canceled. I think there needs to be some flexibility to cancel a meeting as long as our chairperson agrees with it. It shouldn't just be staff saying the meeting is canceled. There should be some interaction with our representative, too.
That's it. There you
okay.
go. That's the policy.
So
right there.
Maybe I could reiterate. What you should probably open this up to the public also to get
Marla
some
wanted to
some
say
input.
Something. Keep it brief, Marla. Come forward and say what you wanted to say.
Thank you. Marla Jobertan, North Morro Bay. I know there's not a lot of public here in the audience, but I hope that there are people at home, and I think people stay home and watch these meetings. And I appreciate a once a month meeting. And I think that the understanding now is that the chairperson has to agree with the staff. And I would like to see that be on point and stay a key item so that staff isn't just handling counseling without talking to you. And also, I'm an advocate for public comment and public speaking, and I believe that that once a month for the public to be able to come here, I would like to see more people come here. Another thing is we're working on our upgrade of our wastewater treatment plant, and I would like to see PWEB being kept up on what's going along to help the community further know what's going, the progress of that. And it's completely void, actually, now as for citizens to follow what's going on. And so PWEB, I think, is a good place to keep a pulse on that. And since we're the next 4 to 5 years, we're going to be in that process of that building of that plant. I think more than ever that the Public Works Advisory Board should be available for the public. Thank you.
Thank you. And you're correct. We should be, because in my opinion, always this board is a dissemination of information to our citizenry. So any chance we can get to be as flexible as we can. Did you want to say something, Carrie? Very briefly, please.
Very briefly. I just want to say that you guys have been great as far as my cause. I feel a lot of times the communications with some of the city staff, and including county and everything, aren't the way. I guess not as open and understanding as you guys are, more down to earth and actually communicate more with me in email, explain things to me, tell me when I'm right, tell me when I'm wrong, tell me if my suspicions are right, or you check into it. And I appreciate you guys. I don't want to see you go anywhere because at least I always have you, and I appreciate that. I feel like I have more of a relationship than I do with a lot of, you know, city employees, because I feel like they have to say things. That's their job. But I really feel like you guys care about what you do, and I appreciate that. So I'd like to see you here because
it was canceled last time. I'm assuming that you did communicate with mm-hmm. each other.
Yes.
But the fact that it was less than 30 days, mm-hmm. that was okay with me. I mean, I don't feel like I require a 30-day notice on a cancellation. You know, time is at a premium. If I find out I don't need to be there, then that's usually okay, even if it's a week ahead of time, you know. So I feel like we were notified in plenty of time before, even though it wasn't the 30 days it's required. So I don't know if we can modify that so that if things come up at the last minute or information isn't available that you thought was going to be available for the meeting, you know.
Well, it's more for the public, really, than for the board members. Public is expecting a meeting, and at the last minute they show up and there isn't a meeting, and they don't know about it until they see a notice on the door out there. That's where I think a problem exists. Well, it's in the communicating with our citizenry.
Well, there should be a notice on Channel 20 at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night that there's not going to be a meeting, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, any means
when
of
the
communicating.
Meeting doesn't occur.
You might add, Rob, make notifications of canceled meetings to the best effort of everybody as early as possible so that the citizens aren't showing up thinking there's a meeting and discovering that there isn't.
Maybe I could go over what I have and see if there's board consensus on
Please.
This. Keep 7 members on the board. Keep 4 years as the term for board members.
Correct.
Utilize the board better, although I don't think we need council direction on that. I think we can do that now. The cancellation policy would be to have staff work with the chair or co-chair of the board and establish a consensus whether that meeting should proceed. And the scope would be remain as it is right now, basically do what the city council wants the board to do. Is that, have I captured your
notification to the public?
Notification of canceled meetings
As early as possible.
As early as possible.
To the Channel 20 city council meeting or whatever. Yes. Notification to the public as early as possible. Okay. Is there anything else, June, Jane?
I just have a slight problem with the wording on that we're to do what the council says we're supposed to do.
No,
that's what the wording was. And I would just say we're here to support the council in whatever way that they need support.
Yes.
And advice.
Actually, we should probably just recommend no change to the scope of the.
Well, I think you could add a phrase that the board feels strongly the need to disseminate information to the public.
Okay.
As part of our purpose.
Yes, as part of our purpose, our goal. I strongly believe in that, and I think this board has done a superb job of doing that for the past few years.
Wastewater, streets, recycling, solid waste, cable television, telecommunications, trees, transportation, and other issues related to public services department responsibilities. So there is a wide variety of topics that are covered here that, you know, we need to be able to support the council and advise the public as well, and encourage anybody in the public that has an interest in these things or knowledge of these things to get involved. It's one step closer to having more of an impact of decisions that do occur within the city and how it works.
Excellent, June. Thank you.
Welcome.
That was good. Mm-hmm. Rob, do you have enough on this subject to go to council with?
I do have enough to prepare a memo to city manager that she can bring forward to the city council.
Great. Thank you. Okay. All right. Old business, none. Future agenda items, I believe we have two. June, excuse me, you wanted one? Yes, go for it.
I would like to be on our next agenda a discussion of the formation of a PWAP subcommittee that will be involved in furthering city tree replacement.
Microphone.
Oh.
Let's start over.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think I would like to have on the agenda for the next meeting that we discuss the formation of a PWAB subcommittee whose purpose is to further city street tree replacement. That would take the form of the adopted tree committee. And so I think that the next step in getting that, the adopted tree program moving forward, we've got a beginning, but we need to actually get the details worked out on how it can be an ongoing program in our community for years to come. And that will take some more legwork. And there are several knowledgeable and interested members of the community that have come forward, approximately 15 people, professionals and citizens that would like to be involved in this subcommittee, but we need to work out what the committee will look like, what its guidelines will be, and how it will move forward. It would be a committee that would come back to PWAB, and then PWAB would make decisions where it would go from there. But they would do the legwork on the adopted tree program, and the purpose is to further the street tree replacements.
Can you prepare a brief staff report for the board for the January meeting so that we don't need staff to do anything except list it on the agenda? Is that possible?
If that would be helpful.
And I'd be happy to work with you on that staff report. It would, just for clarification, mm-hmm. this would be a standing committee mm-hmm. instead of just the ad hoc committee
Correct.
That we, the short-term ad hoc committee that we formed. Okay, mm-hmm. thank you.
Yeah, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you want, June?
Yes, thank
Great.
You.
Great. Okay, and that's on for January, Rob?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
So we have something for January.
Well, we have another one, maybe, hopefully. I'd like to agendize to have this board discuss either in January or whenever appropriate, the Chorro Valley Wells. Let's see if we can't somehow clear up the confusion, the miscommunications.
The board's desire to get that on the agenda as soon as possible.
Yes, because we do want those wells looked at as soon as possible, please. Okay, great. Is there anything else? Anybody else have an agenda item they wish to put forward?
No.
Okay, well, the next thing is adjournment. But before we do that, I'd like to take an opportunity to wish everybody out there a very merry, merry Christmas and all the best for the new year. And in these troubled times in which the economy is taking a nosedive, there are a number of us out there who aren't as fortunate as some of us. So if you see an opportunity to lend a hand, please do so. There are people in need, and because of their pride, they don't always speak up. So do what we can. Everybody, be careful out there. Stay well. Happy holidays. Good night.
Are you going to be here in January?
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
You're going to be here in January?
No.
No.
Oh.
You old.
Bill, yeah.
My apologies. It has just been drawn to my attention an item that I forgot to do, and that is I have a previous engagement in the January meeting. I will not be here. Thus, the board is without a chair and a vice chair. So at this time, with the four of us here, I would like us to appoint a vice chair for the January meeting so that we can have somebody chair the meeting. And Bill Olson has gladly volunteered. So I would nominate Bill to be our vice chair for the month of January, and I'll take a second from either Jane or June.
Second that.
Motion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved. And on that happy note, we are now adjourned. Thank you very much, and good night. Thank you, Nancy.